Welcome to the Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway edition. You have happened across the only podcast completely dedicated to learning and mastering the Jeff Galloway Run Walk Run training method right from Jeff himself. Jeff's Run Walk Run training method has been developed and evolved over many years using feedback from nearly 500,000 of your fellow runners. This podcast will run walk run you gently through Jeff's training methods to get you to the finish line of your next event or simply help you run to your 100. So lace up those running shoes and let's get moving.
Hello, and welcome to the Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway edition, episode 5.3. How is everyone? I'm doing pretty good, but more about me later. So listen, my first thought is, first of all, I'm out for a little bit of a walk today. It's a gorgeous day, not a cloud in the sky. And around 73, 74 degrees here in Cincinnati. No wind, so it's like a perfect recording day if you're a podcaster. It's not actually a great day for listening to the sounds of nature. You can hear the pounding in the background probably. Hear that? One of my neighbors is getting a new roof. And the neighborhood I live in is, we all built our homes about, see, mine was built in 2005. Yeah, so mine's 13, 14 years old, something like that. And all the roofs are falling apart at the same time. So I've got roofers everywhere. I had to replace mine last year. So anyway, good day to record. Good day for a gentle little walk. There are so many folks running races these days. It's just amazing. Facebook, our Facebook page is just going crazy. And I'm so jealous when I see that. I am, however, sidelined indefinitely as far as the running thing goes. Some of you may not know, others I'm sure have heard this story, but I'm a little bit less than 2 weeks out from hip replacement surgery. Today's Tuesday, I'm recording this on a Tuesday, and tomorrow will be 2 weeks. I'm making some pretty, I think, remarkable progress. I'm actually out walking. I've added about a mile and a quarter walk each day to the exercises that they've got me doing at physical therapy. And today is the first day that I'm actually out walking with no aid. The first few days I was actually on a walker, and I'm not too proud to say I needed it. After about, oh geez, probably a week or so, I put that thing away and moved to a cane. And at this point, 2 weeks out, I'm using the cane maybe 25% of the time. When I really feel it is when I've been sitting around for a while and then stand up and my leg's pretty stiff. It's not the joint. It's not my brand new bionic hip that gets tight. It's obviously the muscles that are stressed and were stretched and pulled out of the way to make room for this new hip that I've got. Still some, just a tiny bit of soreness. I almost called it pain, but it's really not pain. It's not like it hurts, it's just sore. So today's the first day that I've ventured out and left my cane at home. I am not setting any land speed records with these walks. This will be my, I think my fourth day in a row. Maybe my fourth, maybe my fifth, something like that. And there's no chance that I'm going to try to push it because I'm not out here to get any sort of aerobic benefit at all. I'm out here to get some steps in to strengthen the muscles around this hip. I'm still walking with just a tad of a limp, which is my number one goal, getting rid of that. And we'll see how that goes. Well, I'm walking by a house that has a terrible, nasty, hateful, mean dog. And they have an invisible fence that I hope works well, because you're going to hear this thing scream and holler at me in a minute. My wife crosses the street when she gets to this house, because this dog is so... See, this dog wants to bite me. There is no doubt he wants to bite me. My wife walks across the street when she gets to this house, but I'll be darned if I'm going to let these folks dictate my running or my walking route for me. Anyway, out for a pleasant little walk. I'm recuperating quite well and just taking it slow. But what the heck, you know? You got to take baby steps to progress, and that's what I'm doing. Those of you who have been around this podcast for a while, maybe since it began back in 2009, will remember how it started. It started with me sending a note to Jeff Galloway asking him to e-coach me for what would be my first run-walk-run marathon. And after many weeks of training and doing everything that the coach told me to do. Oh yes, I detailed every bit of it on a podcast, by the way, for everyone to hear. I did everything I was told, except for one silly little thing. And as it turned out, that one silly little thing cost me a marathon finish and got me the first DNF in my 20-some years of running at that point. And I did all of this in front of the internet world. I will never forget the conversation that I had with my coach, Jeff Galloway, after I had DNF'd that race. I was ready to take my punishment. I put a book down the back of my pants, and I was prepared to be taken to the woodshed. But that didn't happen. In typical Jeff Galloway fashion, he reminded me that we can all learn from our failures. And he suggested that we spend the next episode talking about what happened, why it happened, and how we can fix it. In other words, my failure could be a teachable moment. So I'm not going to relive those days. Those, by the way, are all still available on the interwebs as a podcast that I believe we called the Extra Mile Podcast Experiment. And those links are on the webpage. So, recently, when I had a conversation with Jeff about my hip surgery and that I would be a walker for the foreseeable future, Jeff's attitude was, once again, whether it's from an injury or just by choice, many people choose to walk. Did you know that walking is the most popular workout in the entire world? Yeah. So, in this episode, Jeff and I will discuss walking as an exercise from a 30,000 foot level. Now, I'm not talking about the walking you do around the house, maybe from the couch to the refrigerator, but I'm talking about putting together a walking program that can give some of the same benefits as your run-walk-run program does. Maybe walking to supplement your run-walk-run, or walking to help lose weight, create endorphins, or just get out and make you sweat. But before we do this, let me make this clear. The Extra Mile Podcast Jeff Galloway Edition is a running podcast. Whether or not I take another running step in my life, this is a run-walk-run podcast, and it will stay that forever. But if you're a walker, welcome. Stick around, because walking rocks. We will add walking to our list of run, walk, run topics. So keep an open mind. This could be fun. So in this episode, we're going to catch up with Mr. Galloway, find out where he's been recently, and more importantly, where he's going to be, and whether or not you can catch up with him and meet him in person, ask him any questions you might have right to his face, spend some time with him, and of course, get your picture taken with him. And by the way, make sure to post any of your Jeff Galloway pictures on our Facebook page, please. We'll also discuss Jeff's walking program, what it is, why it works, and what we can expect. We'll also include a few questions from some lovable extra milers and open a discussion on the Galloway Pacers that are becoming quite popular and pretty prevalent at quite a few running events throughout the country. We'll catch up with the program director in St. Louis. He's got some very cool and unique things going on there. And amongst all of that, he's an avid Galloway Pacer. So we'll kind of figure out what it takes to be a pacer and what you can expect running with one of the Galloway Pacers. And of course, I was not going to do an episode without catching up with Coach Twiggs to see what he's been up to lately on that topic as well and a few others. So the episode is chock full of good stuff. Let's get to it. And I got a few things I'd like to chat with you again at the end. Y'all enjoy your extra mile.
Early walk breaks erase fatigue, so let's start this episode with a gentle walk break.
So like the men said, we're going to start this episode like we do all of our run walk runs with a gentle walk break, which means a lot to me, a lot more to me these days than it used to. And we're going to touch base with our favorite running coach, Mr. Jeff Galloway. Good afternoon, Jeff. How are you?
Well, Kevin, always good to hear your voice, especially since it's always cheerful and positive. And despite what happens, we find a way to move ahead.
Absolutely. And I really appreciate you getting together with me in what might be a tiny bit of a selfish conversation. But the more I delve into this, the more I think it's really not a selfish conversation. And we'll get into that a little bit later.
Good.
Let's catch up with at least a couple of the bigger spots that you've been at in the last few weeks that I wanted to check out. The first one I want to talk about is the Star Wars Dark Side Half Marathon. I think that one's relatively new, but really, really big now, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Because of the canceling of the Star Wars events on the West Coast, the Star Wars event in April down at Disney World has grown, and it's become taken on a life of its own. I met countless numbers of people that weekend who have never run a Walt Disney World event before, but because of Star Wars, they wanted to do it. And it was a fabulous weekend. I would say that maybe a little on the warm and humid side, definitely folks who have had a cold winter were having some issues with that. But the overall experience was just a super one.
Is this is obviously one where a lot of people run in costume, I'm guessing.
Oh, it absolutely is. And so the entertainment on the course is as interesting with the people who are running the race as it is with those who are alongside.
And as Dizzy is wont to do, they have something called the First Order Challenge, which is a 10K and a half. If you run the 10K and half marathon, did you do that this year? Which one did you do?
No, because of our extended time period of 10 to 12 hours on our feet at the expo, Barb and I have made a mutual pact that we're just going to stick with the half marathons on the weekends. And it really is fine with us to give up those other medals. It's really right. A fabulous time to interact with people the whole weekend. And, of course, most of that occurs person after person at the expo, several thousand.
10 to 12 hours on your feet at the expo the day before. Is that what you said?
Yes, and the day before that.
Oh, my. Good on you, Jeff. That was in about the third week of April, the 22nd, I think. And then you headed all the way to California for the Big Sur Marathon. You're familiar with that course in that area of the country pretty much, aren't you?
I have actually run that course 20 times. Now, not all of them have been in the marathon itself, but most of those episodes have. And it truly is just a beautiful course, so natural and so out there, right on the edge of the ocean. At one point, you're 600 feet above the ocean looking down, and you're right out there with hawks and other birds that are flying along with you. This year, I saw a whole bunch of whales, and I couldn't tell how many because at one point there were so many of them circling around that I couldn't even count how many there were. Fabulously run event, and just in this beautiful part of the world. We always stay in our friend Bobby's Lamplighter Inn in Carmel. Just a delightful place to stay. We do a lot of our beach retreats in Carmel because the weather year-round is so nice, and the weather cooperated. The one thing that has been a challenge there most years has been strong headwinds, and this year the headwinds were not that bad. They were minimal. So, and the weather was just great. I don't think it got above 60 or 61 degrees.
I've seen that epic picture 100 times of a big bridge you go over that's way out over the – you can see the ocean,
Bixby,
right?
Bridge.
There you go.
It was built in the during the Depression era, and just a beautiful designed bridge, and particularly because of where it is. It really takes in the environment there, and you know, very seldom – have I seen a man-made structure enhance the natural environment, but the Bixby Bridge is one of them.
Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. Very nice. So let's catch up a little bit for those folks that might want to track you down in the next few weeks. The first one I see on the calendar is one I think you've been to for several times, the Capital City Marathon in Olympia, Washington on May the 20th.
Yes, very well-run event. It has the feel of a really cozy town. Even though it's the state capital, it's not this huge metropolitan area. It's really just good people and fun folks there. And I just love hanging out at the restaurants in the downtown area and seeing the waterfront, which is right there. Just a beautiful area. And it's a destination location because you can take off from Olympia and go all over the Olympic Peninsula, which is a spectacular place to visit. Highly recommended.
And that event includes a half and a full. Which one of those are you planning for that this year?
Going to be the full. It comes really well situated with our having just done the Big Sur Marathon. So 3 weeks later, we're good to go.
And I saw on the calendar you're going to do one of your running schools there on the day before, on the 19th as well.
Yes, we still have openings too. And that has been a really good one for that region because I'd really only get up to that region of the country just once. So if you know of any folks that live in the area that might benefit from all of the information on running that we cover, just tell them to go to the website and click on running schools in Olympia.
Perfect. And that's a perfect segue for me, Jeff, because you and I, for the past whatever year, 7 or 8 years, we always talk about where you're going to be, and it always tends to be a big marathon that's coming up, or maybe just a medium-sized marathon, whatever. But it's typically an event in where you're going to be, how they can catch up, what expo you're going to be at, and you're going to do a running school. But that's really not the majority of what of where you get to see these folks, because you do a lot of appearances at just local, sometimes very small town running stores, and put together not just meet and greets, but chances to do the running school for those kinds of folks as well.
Yes, and I wish I could get to all of the areas around the country where this wonderful number of runners hang out and so forth. And I'm whacking away at it. I'll never get to every single place, but I truly believe that The smaller markets deserve my attention as much as the bigger markets, and that's pretty much what I do. It's about half of my visits are in big cities, and half of them are in medium-sized to small areas. And lots of times I'll do three or four or five or sometimes even more cities in one trip in order to try to hit as many places as I possibly can.
For example, this is a perfect example. We have, it just seems like, right in a certain part of Pennsylvania, we have so many listeners. They've become great friends and avid Jeff Galloway Run, Walk, Run folks. And you're doing an appearance in York, Pennsylvania on May the 27th. JD, Anthony, Dwayne, Shelley, Nate, Steve, there's so many that are right there in the area and have all gotten pretty excited and have signed up to come see you, many of them at the running school. So that's a perfect example. And unless those folks go out and sign up for your newsletter, sometimes it's hard for people to understand or to figure out where you're going to be. But I'm going to put a link in the show notes today to a couple of spots. One is your calendar, the Jeff Galloway Productions calendar that has on there where Jeff will be and when. And then another very good one is right at jeffgalloway.com. There's a link to all of the running schools. You can click on the location and it pops up with every single running school you're going to be at in the next. This current one goes all the way out to the end of October, for crying out loud. And beyond that, it even gives a perfect description of what you're going to get, what to expect at those running schools.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I get such great feedback because this is an opportunity that everyone has, regardless of what their ability is, whether they're just starting to walk regularly or they're training for the Boston Marathon. They will be able to find not only information, but then they can ask any questions. If someone's having a problem, I can usually at least give some ways of solving that problem. And I love the associations with people.
I've heard you answer hundreds of questions, and not once have I heard the answer, "I don't know, Jeff." So, well, yeah, I agree.
If and when it does happen, I will start working on the answer right away.
There you go. All right, so there's a little bit about where Jeff's been, where you can catch up to him in the future.
After that gentle walk break, and knowing just the right ratio and pace, it's time to run.
And let's move on to the run interval, the part of the show where we focus on some Jeff Galloway run, walk, run training elements. And as I mentioned before a little bit, because of an obvious issue that I've had recently with my hip that's resulted in hip replacement surgery, it's caused me personally to focus all my exercise attention recently away from run, walk, run, but to another area that I'm kind of excited about, and that is walking. The major thing that I've learned in the very short period that I've spent studying this is walking and running are very similar in so many ways. So Jeff, if you don't mind, let's begin with this topic of walking, and let me ask you this. Is walking for everyone?
Oh, walking is the number one activity that we were designed to do. I mean, if you had to try to figure out what our ancient ancestors adapted us to do, it's very clear. It's walking. Our ancestors had to walk thousands, tens of thousands of miles a year in order to find food to survive. And we have been endowed with those adaptations to walk all day and all night and keep doing that over and over again. Now, I don't want you to do that, Kevin.
But not for a week or so, I believe.
Yes, exactly. But that is what we were designed to do. And when you walk, you actually stimulate most of the adaptations that you will use when you run, and particularly endurance. By walking a long walk, whatever that distance is, that gives you the same endurance that you would get if you ran that distance.
That's interesting. This sounds like a silly question. I'm going to ask it. The endorphins that I have always gotten from my running, can I get those? Are those the same endorphins, and can I get them from walking?
It depends on the course. One of the things that people do when they've had been sidelined from their run and they miss the endorphins, and there's a different set of benefits, mental benefits, that occur due to brain circuits. So the endorphins are actual hormones that are triggered by your exertion level, but there's a different set of benefits that occur up in the brain, in which when you run, you trigger the circuit for a better attitude, for more vitality, and for personal empowerment to be turned on. Now, when you walk, there is some of that, but usually not to the degree that you would get when you run. And so, but I will say that there's an in-between, and a number of people who've been sidelined will gravitate towards hiking and find some hikes they can do that involve terrain. And a lot of the same type of mental benefits occur from long hikes.
So I usually save the listener questions to later in the show, but it fit in right at this spot so well. So I want to read one that I received from a close friend of ours, Kim. She's right there in your backyard in Atlanta, has been kind enough to join us every year, I think, for the JG 13.1. She writes, "I'm curious to hear Jeff's take on whether you can get the same health benefits from walking as you can from running. She's heard that you can, but that it just kind of takes a little bit longer because you're not moving quite as fast. What do you think?"
Well, there are several things going on here, and I can't fully answer why, but in a study that came out last year that was a very well-respected study, it was published in the New England Journal of Medicine, it studied the epidemiological evidence showing what effect exercise had on longevity. In other words, for every hour that you do a certain exercise, how much statistically would you extend your lifespan? And there's been a lot of research that goes back into the late 50s on this, encompassing millions upon millions of subjects in these studies. So they're very well respected, very well documented, and the results are very consistent. Right from the beginning of the research on this, it was shown that for every hour you do a certain type of exercise, you're going to extend your lifespan much more than that. And in the case of walking and cycling and most other exercises, for every hour you walk, say, you're going to extend your lifespan statistically by 2 to 3 hours. That's really a good extension, and it's based on the health benefits that you're producing while you're walking. For running, there's more. For every hour you run, statistically, you extend your lifespan by 7 hours. So I followed up with the experts in the field, and their comment was that the difference was based on the mental benefits that are more significant in running. And there are a lot of reasons that are cited for these extra mental benefits that you get from running. But the bottom line is that if you walk regularly, you're going to be healthier. And this overall health profile is then going to show up at the end of your life. But it not only does it then, it enhances your life while you're doing it regularly.
Very good. And I'm only guessing this, but would you say that you said that walking was for everyone? Would you also say running is for everyone? And I mean, my first guess would be is maybe not. Maybe the set of folks who can run are not quite as large for walking, so that if you aren't in that set, you're at least in the set of walking.
Well, there are some folks that should not be running. Because of all of the situations that have been going on in with various devices that are put on your body, knee replacements, hip replacements, and others. The number of people that should not run in any form is growing less and less because the devices are getting much better. Aside from that, there are some medical conditions that preclude running. So you just have to, if you're subject to one of those, you really do need to talk with your doctor and particularly try to find a doctor who would like for you to do the appropriate exercise because of all the many, many benefits that exercise gives you. Now, all of that being said, there's still a small percentage of people that cannot run for various reasons. For most of those that I have worked with, walking is the way to go.
Very good. So, Jeff, you were kind enough to send me a book that I received a couple of days ago, and since then I've been devouring this book. It's called Walking, the Complete Guide. Can you tell me a little bit about that book? Like, why did you write it? Who's it written for? And what would you like the readers to come away with?
Well, before I wrote the book, for about 10 years, I had been working with thousands of runners over that period who were not just interested in going out and walking around the block. They wanted to seriously train for a 5K, a 10K, a half, and or a full marathon, and they wanted to do it by simply walking because of whatever issues they were dealing with. So as I worked with more and more of these folks, I realized that, first of all, these are serious athletes. Anytime you take on a challenge like that, you need to have a structured training program and be aware of the other elements of nutrition and so forth that you need to do in order to reach that goal. So all of that being said, I wrote the walking book as a very serious training book for walkers. It has soup to nuts about how you train, how you eat, how you can adjust your stride and all these things. And the last chapter in the book actually gets into run, walk, run and how someone can make a shift if they want to try a small, very small amount of running in their walk.
That's a, obviously you're the author, but, so you know this. That's a perfect description of this book. That's the exact, I've not gotten through this book because it's got so much detail in it. It's not something you're going to sit down and read, you know, in an hour. It's something you're going to sit down and read a little bit of and then try and come back and back. And I've already scribbled on it and written my notes on it. It's just a great book. But what I was going to say is that I've obviously walked all my life, Jeff, but this walking stuff in this book is completely different. And there are so many similarities between walking, when I say this, I mean the walking you describe in this book and the run, walk, run that you describe in your other books, isn't it?
It really is. And as I mentioned before, you're going to get the same exact endurance. So those longer walks, which are scheduled in the book, do not occur every weekend. It's a very similar schedule to what you're going to find in my running book because this is what I found works.
It's funny you say that because I did the other day jump ahead and looked at the half marathon. And sure enough, there it was. The long walk is more than the 13.1.
Absolutely correct. We want walkers to get every bit of the benefit of the training components that runners get.
Do the two programs, your walking program and your run, walk, run, do the two programs mesh? I mean, can you actually do them both at once, maybe as cross training? I'm kind of envisioning kind of that.
Yeah, they do work. I will say that there are a number of friends or relative situations in which, say, family members or a group of friends decide that they want to train for a certain event. Some of them can't run, so they are walking to train. And so the walkers will get the walking book, and the runners will get one of my running books. and they are on the same schedule, and they can proceed week by week right towards that goal.
Very good. Last question. In all the years that you've been training runners and walkers, do you find a lot of runners at a certain point in their lives need to transition from the run-walk-run to walking to stay motivated or for physical reasons? It kind of seems like a natural move to me, although I don't know.
Well, there are a number that do that. I'd say the most dominant trend, especially among those that do run-walk-run, is that as someone gets above a certain age and the running muscles just aren't as resilient as they used to be, they will adjust the run-walk-run so that it's more walking and less running. In addition to that, there are certain days of the week, let's say someone who's above the age of 60 and finds that if they run 3 or 4 days a week, that the legs don't recover like they used to. So they can actually substitute 1 or 2 days of long walks instead of a run and get the same endurance, get the same fitness level, and be able to proceed towards whatever goal they want. Now, I will say that there is a difference in calories burned walking and running. If you ran nonstop, the averages on the research show 100 calories per mile for those who run nonstop. For those that walk nonstop, walk at a not, I won't say a really super easy pace, but just a relaxed pace that you could continue for several hours, then that calories burned is around 50. So it's about half. But those that walk faster are going to up the number of calories per mile to 60, sometimes 70 or 75. And those who use a liberal use of run, walk, run, let's say something like 10 to 15 seconds of running and 30 seconds of walking, are also going to be around 70 to 75 calories per mile. So you have a coming together in many ways of both the conditioning of walkers and runners when runners use run, walk, run, and when walkers increase the pace of their walk. Now, the one caution that I give walkers is to not let the stride length get too long. A long walking stride tends to produce about as many injuries as those who run nonstop. So you really need to watch that. And finally, there are a number of folks that I've met who thought they were going to have to give up running because they just ran nonstop until they got a whole series of injuries and were actually told by their doctor that they shouldn't be running because they had bone on bone or something like that.
Sure.
And these folks a lot of these folks that I've talked with have gone to walking first, and they walked for 6 months to a year, sometimes longer than that. Then they discovered some of my books, like the Run, Walk, Run book, that explains how someone could transition to a certain point in Run, Walk, Run. They tried it, and they're back in running. Some of them are only running 5 to 7 seconds and walking for the rest of the minute. But they tell me that they are getting those same mental benefits. And I don't ever tell anyone who has had a setback, had a replacement operation or whatever, that they're going to be able to get back into running. But I'll tell you, a lot of the folks that I have mentioned this to have been able to get back in it.
Very good. Very good. So if it's okay with you, Jeff, in the coming weeks and months, I'd like to discuss more of the details of your walking program. We just touched on this from a 60,000 foot level, but there's so much more, and I'd like to dig into that a little more for the listeners and kind of relate it maybe back to run, walk, run, because that's probably where we all, at least right now, feel more comfortable with. But I, for one, would like to feel way more comfortable with the walking program that you've put together. And there's so many pieces of it that we need to talk about. So if that's okay, I'd like to do that.
Well, that's not only okay, but what I'm finding is that when runners hear about this, they can then talk to their friends and family members who don't have any interest in running, but could walk and could improve their health, their mental health, their attitude about life, and lots of other good things.
So before I drop this topic, this is an important one, folks. I'm going to put a link in the show notes to where you can order this book, and we can go through this thing together. It's on Jeff's website, and it will come with his John Hancock right in the inside front cover.
Absolutely.
Get over and get that thing, and let's do this stuff together. Thank you, Jeff.
It's time to see how you are progressing in your training. So it's time for a magic mile.
All right, let's move along to the magic mile, the part of the show we turn over to our lovable extra milers with questions for Jeff, and then also catch up on any Jeff Galloway half marathon updates we might be behind on. So we had one listener earlier in the show. Kim had a great question. We also have a great question from our friend Ann Cameron out in California, Jeff. She's asking for more details about inserting shuffle breaks into the walking. Can you, and this is one of those details we're going to get into really, really deep, but can you touch on this item briefly and before we get into the deep details later?
Yes. The bottom line on shuffle breaks is that it really is the same concept as taking walk breaks while you're on a run. And the underlying principle of all this is that when you use the muscles and the other orthopedic units like your feet and legs continually, and you don't give them a break, they're going to fatigue more rapidly than if you gave them a break. And so in the case of a long walk, the success formula has been to put some shuffle breaks in. And Anne, I really appreciate you asking this, and you do such a good job in pulling information out that can help other people. So the shuffle break is about a 30-second reduction in your stride length and in the effort level after about 3 to 5 minutes of walking. Now, as in running, run, walk, run, individuals can adjust the amount of walking and the amount of shuffling as they would need to. But the principle is that by doing those, inserting those shuffle breaks right from the beginning of a long walk, you're not going to be tend to be as tired. You're going to reduce the chance of getting sore, and you're going to be able to enjoy the energy level all the way through better than if you just walked exactly at the same pace all the way through.
Great. So this, instead of run, walk, run, this might be like walk, shuffle, walk, huh?
There it is.
Okay, well, we'll get into a lot of detail about that. Thanks, Ann. And Ann's been teasing me about coming to Atlanta and getting into the half marathon but for several years, Jeff, but I think this might be the year.
Well, this is the fifth year. It's a really big year for us. There are going to be more bells and whistles. The course goes by the Margaret Mitchell House, the Jimmy Carter Library, Martin Luther King Center. So for those who have not been to Atlanta and haven't seen our storied landmarks, we have a number of them, and it's just a great tour of the area. But we're going to have a spectacular medal this year, and we have a walker-friendly course, actually both courses. Barb's 5K is exclusively within Piedmont Park. That's our storied park, absolutely beautiful. And then my half-marathon course winds around the Midtown area, but it has a 4.5-hour limit. You could crawl a half-marathon in 4.5 hours.
Well, that you may have just described me there, Jeff, but that's on my radar to be to walk that thing this year, and I'm looking forward to it. I saw where you guys announced the hotel block, so that's like step number one as far as I'm concerned. Step number one is to sign up, register for the race, but but when you're making your plans, it's at hotel. Did you realize you've announced all those special discount rates for the hotels?
Actually, I heard they were coming. I did not know they were up. There's some great rates. I saw the figures on that, and there's some great hotel rates.
Especially considering that you're staying at a hotel in the middle of one of the largest cities in the United States. You're not staying in a remote, you know, like a strip mall area. This is right in the middle of downtown. Some right at the expo, some within walking distance to the start and the finish, and they're just great. They're just great.
Yeah, a lot of them are within just a few blocks, if not one block, of the start of the race. Very, very convenient. And the other really neat thing is we have a MARTA stop. MARTA is our rapid rail system. You can take it in from the airport. And a lot of those hotels are located within a block or four of the MARTA station.
That you're describing my stay exactly, Jeff. I jump on the MARTA at the airport, and it's something ridiculous, like $2 or something. And I get off at the right stop. I walk a half a block to the hotel, and there I am. And then I'm at one of those hotels you mentioned. I'm two blocks from the start the next morning. It's great.
Nice to have convenience.
Yes, it is. Well, that's all I have for you this morning, Jeff. I really, really appreciate the time. And once again, thanks for the book. And thanks very much for helping me through this transition. I can't thank you enough.
Well, we did have a couple of breaking news items.
Oh,
the first one is that with our Jeff Barb weekend, we have a brand new sponsor. It was announced yesterday. It is the Taipei Atlanta Sister City program. We are going to tie in with a sister city of Atlanta, and we're going to have a number of joint promotions that go back and forth to give us an international theme. It's really a wonderful thing. And then secondly, we just announced a brand new weekend retreat in Carmel, California, which is October the 4th through the 7th, and there's just no better place to be there for a weekend year-round than Carmel. We just had one a few weeks ago. It's relaxing. It's great for couples or for singles. Just lots of interesting things to do, and the beautiful coastline to run and walk. So keep that in mind and tell folks about it.
Very good. Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it. And let's do this again really, really soon, because I've already got 1,000 questions in my head.
Well, Kevin, I'm looking forward to digging into those.
Thanks, Jeff. Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
After a great endorphin rush, let's end this episode with a well-deserved cool down.
Okay, so I've gotten quite a bit of interest lately, specifically in different Galloway training programs throughout the country. So I thought I would reach out to a program director that I met a couple years ago down in Atlanta at Jeff's half marathon. And he's got kind of a unique thing going on. He's from St. Louis, and his name is Scott Woloski. Scott, did I totally screw up your name, didn't I?
You know what? In 42 years of my life, I've had maybe 7 people actually pronounce my last name correctly. It's actually Wallisick, but I've gotten Woloski, I've gotten Wallacek, I've gotten just about every iteration that you can from a Polish name that you could.
Well, I would
so
like to.
That's
been
okay.
Number,
you're forgiven.
I'd like to be number 8, but maybe next time. Sorry. I mentioned that you were the program director there in St. Louis. You're also a U.S. Marine vet. Thank you for your service, by the way. Father of 4, and you're an avid half marathoner. Tell us a little bit about, before we get into the program stuff, I'd like to know a little bit about your background personally. How long have you been running? You mentioned that you're an avid half marathoner. How'd you get bitten by the half marathon bug?
Well, it took a little bit of time to be bitten by any bug. Being a United States Marine, your idea of running is kind of ingrained from boot camp. You get up every morning at 5, you're going to go run either on your own or in a formation, which really taught me a lot about cadence and pace to avoid injury. But when I got out of the Marine Corps, I actually quit running altogether because, you know, when you're doing something that's forced on you for 4 years, the last thing you want to go do is something that was forced on you. So it took about 10 years after I got out of the Marine Corps before I started running any distances. I was a weightlifter. I was a personal trainer. I did that whole gambit. Loved the idea of being fit, but the idea of running just turned me off. It wasn't until I met a spin instructor who started challenging me to, you know, get into the running circuit. And, you know, I started going out and running, you know, 5Ks, 10Ks, and I swore I would never run a half. And then, you know, I had made, you know, everyone makes those fitness New Year's resolutions. And I made one, and this kind of branches into the rest of my story. It actually launches everything. So I was running 6 miles pretty regularly, but I got to the 20th anniversary of the Walt Disney World Marathon weekend. And the year before, I had made a New Year's resolution that I was going to run that half. And it came and went. I gained some weight. I had gotten out of shape, and I was, you know, I was angry at myself. Mm-hmm. And so I, you know, as far as, you know, as far as a turning point in my fitness life, you know, I really dedicated myself that year. I was 2013, and really invested myself. Didn't run my first half marathon, official half marathon, until October of 2013. But since then, I've done close to 50. I love the half marathon distance. I like the marathon distance in doses, small doses. But if you had to ask me what my preferred distance was, 13.1 all the way.
You mentioned your first half was in October of 13. Is that what you said?
It was. Yes, I ran Mo Cowbell. I don't know if I'm rare or if this is common, but I actually ran my PR on my first race. That will never be beaten. I ran a 1:44:14, which kind of gives you an idea of where I am, or where I was. But I ran a 1:44:14, thought I was on top of the world, and haven't come close to that since.
You ran the Wine and Dine in 2013, I think, and that's where you first met Jeff. Am I right about that?
Yeah. This is actually an interesting story. Yeah, nice segue. I appreciate that. So if anybody that's ever been to a Walt Disney World or a Run Disney race, their expos are second to none. They cover just about every interest. They got foam rollers. They got, you know, KT tape. They've got applesauce. They've got just about anything you can buy regarding running, every sticker you can imagine. But the longest line at the Wine and Dine race, you know, my human nature took over, and if there's a long line, you get in it. And I didn't know who this Jeff Galloway person was. I got in the line, I got to the front of it, and I found this little old man, and I was, oh, you know, what's the story here? And he started talking this run, walk, run mumbo jumbo. And, you know, I looked at him with my 13.1 miles of race history under my belt and said, hey, you know what? I think that's for beginners. I'm out. And at that moment, he should have just patted me on the rear and said, have a good day. And but he didn't. He didn't. He we had talked a little bit about the inaugural Dopey that following year in 2014, which I was registered for. His parting gift to me, and I do consider it a gift. I've told him this myself, is as I was walking away, he said, hey, since you're doing Dopey, you're not going to have a lot of energy left for that marathon. So why don't you go out and try an interval, inner interval? It doesn't have to be mine. It doesn't have to be anything that I've regulated. But go out and do it. So I took that advice. I went out and ran 20 miles, and I ran it to a 4.5 minute run to 2 minutes walk. And I got done with that 20, and I probably could have ran 20 more. And that's the honest to God truth. I just ran out of daylight, and it's wintertime in St. Louis. So if you ran in the wintertime in St. Louis, you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And so I went to Disney. I ran the 5K, 25 minutes, about average. Ran a 52 minute 10K, ran a 2:02 half all through, meaning I did not take walk breaks.
Okay.
And then ran a 4-hour and 20-minute half using that strategy. Finished Dopey feeling like
full.
A million bucks.
You said half. You meant full.
I'm sorry. I finished the full marathon in 4 hours and thank you very much. 4 hours and 20 minutes, which to me was just a huge achievement because I never thought that taking walk breaks would actually make me faster after all that distance prior. So And I since that time, I have nearly run every race and every training run that I have done to a run, walk, run interval. I consider Jeff a friend. I talk to him regularly. I'm a zealot. I preach to anyone who will listen. And it's a tough nut to crack here in the Midwest because, you know, walking during your runs is forbidden. But when I'm passing people at the end, and that was the one thing that Jeff told me after the first dopey was, you're going to feel great when you're passing people that passed you earlier in the race at the end. And he wasn't.
True. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know that you've also attended some of Jeff's running schools. When was that, in 2013 also, or when did you first?
No, actually, I attended my first Galloway running school, kind of working with him with some other training initiatives that we're working on. And so I attended it in Joplin. I believe that was in 2015 and 2015 or 2016. And I will tell you, if you have never attended a running school, you should attend them. Reason I say that is, even though the ideals may not change, and they might change, you know, it wasn't too long ago when 1 minute walks were the staple, and they've now gone to 30-second walks, which amazing. It totally makes the run more enjoyable because you know, you're not at the end of those long runs, you're not losing steam coming out of walks. But anyhow, I digress. You're always going to hear something new, and which kind of leads me into something that you and I had talked about in interview prep. The last running school that I've attended three now. The last running school that I attended was hosted here in St. Louis at Little Guppy Child Development Center. And he touched on something that he had not touched on before that took me back to something that I came across when I was not a run, walk, runner. It was he started talking about persistence hunting. And if anyone knows anything about persistence hunting, it is the way our ancestors ate their food. They didn't have high powered rifles, didn't have, you know, they had sharpened sticks. But the thing about the anthropology of human runners are, we are natural distance runners. We're built to go for a long period of time. And persistence hunting is where you run at an animal, it runs away from you. You track it while you're walking. You find it again, hopefully before it has regained its core temperature. You chase it again, and you basically run it to where the animal has no more energy, and then they ate. And he brought that up, and it took me back to a video that I watched. And I'm gonna plug this because it is something that I think all runners, especially run walk runners, should watch. It's called The Perfect Runner, and it's narrated by Niobe Thompson. It's a Smithsonian video. I actually first watched it on Smithsonian. The only place I can find it now is on Vimeo. So I'll send you the link, Kevin, and put it in the show notes.
Okay.
But anyhow, to tie that back in with Jeff's running school, you never know what you're going to hear, and you never know exactly the way he's going to present it because it changes every time. The man's constantly learning. He's a scholar for the sport. You know, he's Jeff Galloway.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up. Jeff has his running schools, I think, last about 3 hours, don't they?
3 hours.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And he generally does them usually at the locations where he's going to an expo for one of his marathons or half marathons. And if you go to his website, I'll put it in the show notes today. But there's a link to all of his running classes. He's got it's all over the place. So yeah, if you're able to get to any of those, they are pretty informative.
They're worth the money. I think they're $100. I think Galloway training program members get a discount on that. Don't quote me on that, but I think they do. But they are absolutely worth the price of admission.
You are right about both of those. It's $99. And discounts are available for Jeff Galloway training program members. So registration is limited on those things. So if you're thinking about it, pull that trigger.
Definitely don't hesitate.
So tell me a little bit about so now you meet Jeff, you're pretty impressed, you run that dopey and you run that marathon in the low fours, and you're now a disciple. But at some point you pulled the trigger on the whole program director thing too. How did that transition happen?
Well, it got to the point, and this was actually in 2015, after Star Wars. I approached him via – this is actually another funny story. This is one I have not told you yet. I reached out to him via his email, which if you have his email address, that is really his email address. And yeah. If you send him an email, it's him answering back. And it'll probably come in the wee hours of the night. But I sent him an email asking about how I could become a trainer or bring a program to St. Louis or something. And he emailed me back and he said, "Hey, you're exactly what I'm looking for. I've been looking to start a program in St. Louis for some time." And we started the conversation. And he said, "I'll call you on Thursday." And so I'm thinking, okay, right, Jeff Galloway's going to call me, and it'll be one of his handlers. It'll be, you know, it'll be the Chris or a Kelsey or somebody like that. It was actually Jeff Galloway. Jeff himself called me. We talked for some time. And one thing you'll need to understand about Jeff is he remembers everyone. He may not remember your name, but he'll remember your story. As soon as you tell him your story, he will pinpoint where and when he met you. So it was very humbling for him to remember me and think, you know, the things that he thought about me being the right person to start a program here in St. Louis and to do some of the fun initiatives I think he's got planned for later this year. We started the conversation. He put me in touch with Chris Twiggs. Chris and I worked together. We launched the program in October of that same year. And since then, we've had about three successful programs. We run a little bit of a unique program in St. Louis. We only do it twice a year. They're 12-week sessions. It gives people just enough time to where they're dedicating 12 weeks and they're getting what they want. We've had over 100 successful half marathoners. Many of them first timers. Many people who didn't think they could run 13 miles completed their first half marathon last October. And we've got another crop coming up this year.
Nice. You do something different there in St. Louis that I just – it's only available in a couple of spots, so I don't want to spend too much time on it. But tell me a little bit about the deal that you do there in case we've got some folks in St. Louis listening.
Sure. So our 12-week program is a little bit of accelerated, and I'm one of the original three personalized trainers, and so I can run – I have a little bit of flexibility. I've been given a little bit of flexibility, and so what we've done is we've created a compacted, accelerated 12-week half training that you have to have completed – you have to have been able to complete 3 miles on week one, because our first week we go 3 miles, which will include your initial magic mile. And then we progress up past the 14-mile distance, which is prescribed by Jeff for, you know, making sure that you have the distance under your belt. And people love it. You know, they're able to come in. They're able to dedicate 3 months of their life. It's not 16 weeks. You're not going to, you know, not going 19 miles. You're not, you know, it's been a huge success. It also makes it easier on our volunteers. We have pace group leaders who come out every Saturday morning with basically just a free registration and a T-shirt as their thanks. And if any of my pace group leaders are listening, thank you so much. It means a ton that you guys are as dedicated as you are. But 12 weeks really makes it easy for them as well, because they don't have to, you know, they can plan their lives and not be tied down to the program.
Sure. So let's transition a little bit, as if you didn't have enough Galloway stuff going on. You also dove into the Galloway pacing. Jeff and Chris put together the list is growing, but I think it's pretty much all the Disney races and the Donna 26.2. But it's a
Space Coast
Marine Corps, right?
Marine Corps has been in the past. I was talking to Chris. I actually did not know this. Galloway Pace team has been around since 2001. And I think you're going to talk to Chris later, but I have him expound on that because I was fascinated. When I talked to him a couple weeks ago, he said that the Pace team has been around since 2001 and did Marine Corps quite a bit. Now, I don't think we've done Marine Corps in a couple of years, but that's not to say we won't do it again.
Right, right. So the Pace groups are great, I think, and especially the Galloway Pace groups. If you're going to do the race using Galloway, that's the way to do it. But tell us a little bit about not so much from a perspective of being a pacer, but I'd like to know a little bit about I mean, pretend I'm kind of on the fence and I'm going to get into this race. Why would I want to get into a pace group as opposed to just, you know, put my headphones on and go on out?
Well, here's the deal. So I'm actually going to talk to you as if you were someone who walked up to the booth that I'll probably be working next week at Darkside, shameless plug. So we have that question quite a bit. Jeff has a booth for the Pacers at the Disney Expo. Jeff being the official training consultant of Run Disney, it draws a lot of Galloway runners. That being said, it also draws a lot of runners. And when people come up and they see Run, Walk, Run, and they've never heard of it before, but they see that we have a pace group, they ask us what intervals we're going to be doing, what pace we're going to be averaging. And the biggest thing that we can tell people is, we're going to get that flag across the finish line at the time that it states, depending on the corral we started from. So if we start from corral G and we're holding the 230 rate, pace flag from corral G's start time, we will be carrying a 230 pace, and it will be a consistent pace from start to finish. We will not bank time. We will not run you out. I did the marathon with an amazing pacer, Amy Magdalene. She and I paced the 5:30 marathon group, and our group was huge. We had non-Galloway runners joining us. We had Galloway runners joining us. We had over 100 people at one point in our pace group. And I'll tell you what, the last mile, as we're sending people off with a ton of energy left in their legs, we're getting hugs and high fives and thank yous. And I'll tell you what, the pacing runners is extremely rewarding because you see the joy and excitement in people's eyes when they're completing something that maybe they have never completed, or maybe they've never completed as fast, or maybe it's been a while and they didn't think they would last the distance, you know, or best of all, you know, we got them to a PR, something that people, you know, through runners, sometimes if they get put in the right pace group, you know, on average, I'm going to quote Jeff here, on average, 7 minutes on your finish time and a half and 13 to 14 minutes on the full if you're in the proper intervals. So watching people's excitement and jubilation at the finish line and knowing that you had a small part of it is huge. But definitely, you know, the biggest benefit you get from running in a pace group is you don't have to think about it. We tell you when to run. We tell you when to walk. We provide motivation. I took a page out of my girlfriend Debbie's book. She's also a Galloway pacer. She actually tells people, when they should be fueling. So we have a thing that she and I train in back home is 5 hours. I'm sorry, 5 miles or 1 hour. So at 5 miles, every 5 miles, I tell them to fuel if you fuel. At every hour, I tell them to fuel if you fuel. And we continue that throughout the whole course. So we're essentially your coach, we're your friend, we're your mentor. We're going to talk to you. We're going to get you through the tough times. But ultimately, we're carrying that flag at a pace, and we're going to finish that race at that pace.
All for how much?
Nothing. Price of admission.
Very cool.
They give us a race bib.
They give you a race bib.
For the love of running.
That's very cool. Do you have advice? Do people ever ask you which pace group they should get into? I mean, I would think sometimes they're like wanting to get into a little faster one to see or whatever.
Well, typically, the first question, if you were a non-Galloway runner and you come to the booth and you talk to me, the first question out of my mouth is, if I asked you to go run just 1 mile, what would your time be? And then that factors you into what your interval will be. Then I'll kind of do some math in my head. You know, I'll channel my inner Jeff, and then I'll give them what I think their interval should be for their race pace. Or I'll actually pull out the app and look it up online. But typically, you know, it's pretty spot on. You know, I'll give you an example. If you ever have any questions about the Magic Mile, I did Disneyland Half 2 years ago, and I ran it. I think I ran a 156, 157. I went home and plugged in my Magic Mile, and my Magic Mile predicted that I would finish in 156.58. And I was just blown away.
Yeah.
And that was magic. But anyhow, so back to your question, though. Typically, their Magic Mile or their mile time is what I use, and I think that's what most of our people do.
Sounds like fun. Way to go. I appreciate you.
And here, there's one more thing. It doesn't cost you anything to run with the pace group.
Right.
You don't even have to sign up. You just go find your flag in your corral. And remember, at Disney, you can always go backwards, but you can't go to a forward corral. So if you're thinking you're going to run a 230, but the 230 pacers are in F and your assigned corral is G, you can't move up to them. So always take that into consideration as well.
Well, Scott, I appreciate the time today. Before I let you go, how can folks get in touch with you if they're in the St. Louis area?
That's a great question. So anybody that's interested in the St. Louis area, and we run a lot of runs right now out of the St. Charles area, but we're blossoming out as more people in the Metropolitan and Metro East start registering, which is happening. You can contact me at runwalkrun@runningitback.com. You can also get onto our social media forum at if you go onto Facebook and search official Galloway STL Runners social page. I'll send the link to Kevin for the show notes, as well as we have a page, the Galloway Training Program St. Louis, and I'll have him put that out there as well. Any of those ways you can reach out to us. The forum itself is a great way to stay in touch. We have a huge cache of runners that have done our program, that stay in touch, that get together. It's just a big family. St. Louis is growing fast, so if you want to be a part of it, come join us. You're more than welcome.
Very good. I appreciate it. Appreciate the time, and it's been a great conversation, and I'm assuming I'll see you again in December down in Atlanta.
I'll be there.
Thanks, man. Have a good one.
No, thank
I appreciate
you.
It. Take care.
No, pleasure's mine.
Well, it's been far too long, but let's welcome back to the podcast Coach Chris Twiggs. How are you today, Chris?
Better than I deserve, Kevin. It's good to hear from you. I listened to your Unplugged podcast recently, so I know a bit of what's been going on in your life, but it's always good to get caught up one-on-one here.
Jeff sent me a book the other day. He sent me the walking book, the complete book. And inside it, he wrote me a tiny little note. And it's my new mantra. It starts by saying, keep on moving. So I don't care if I'm running, walking, crawling, as long as I'm moving. That's my new mantra.
That's absolutely the best one to have. You know, and another one is, as we will sometimes say, is relentless forward progress.
There you go.
So,
there you go. So listen, it has been a while, and one of the things that I've noticed, especially over at our Facebook page this past weekend, is that the running season, the racing season, has gone completely nuts. It's spring, it's racing season, the weather is beautiful. We've had a lot of folks run recently right here in Cincinnati, the Flying Pig Marathon, and if you haven't done that yet, which I don't think you have, I think you need to get to town to do that one.
Well, I did. It was before you and I were talking, but I came up there. I think I was there for the second and third Flying Pigs. The second year, you may know better than I, but I think the second year of the race was the first year they had the relay.
Yes.
And so I ran the first leg of the relay with my mother-in-law and her brother, who lives in Cincinnati. And his daughter. And I found out why they wanted me to run the first leg of that relay, and that's because the first leg has all the climbing in it.
Yeah, they changed that. That's like the I want to say it's the second leg now.
Okay, but well, it was early on, you're brutal.
Right, I went straight up that stinking hill.
It was brutal. So that was, and then the next year I went back and I ran the whole marathon. And I agree, it's a great race, it's a lot of fun. And of course, the cutest thing, I hope they didn't change this, the cutest thing about the Flying Pig Marathon is the back of the finisher's medal.
Can't remember what that looks like.
Oh. Oh,
is it the pig's rear end?
It's the pig's rear end.
Yeah. Yeah. The face on the front and his rear little, and with his little curly tail.
I just thought that
tail.
Is so clever. Yeah. Yep. That was clever. So that was, but it's been many, many years since I did that. But it's, yeah. That was, yeah, I did come up and do it.
We had a few folks come, extra miles come and do that. JD ran Frederick, a half in Frederick. And yep. Anyway, so that leads me to the question of, with all this racing going on, how is the customized training programs going?
Oh my gosh. We were talking about this morning, Kevin. You know, we did have a price increase back in December, I think it was. Uh-huh. And I was pointing out to Jeff this morning, I said, well, it's clear that price increase did not slow down the registrations because we have way more. In fact, I'm looking at my sheet right now, and just for this, just over the weekend, I have 16 customized registrations that I have to write schedules for.
Oh, so 16 brand new ones came in.
Yeah, brand new ones. Wow. Well, actually, those are not all brand new. Those are, let me see, of those 16, 1, 2, 3, 4 of those were renewals.
Oh, I gotcha.
So eight new folks and four folks that are renewing their customized registration. So when I told you earlier before we started recording that Mondays are crazy, man. Mondays are, you got to hit the ground running for sure in more ways than one this week. So
anyone who is listening to this podcast and not at about mile 20 of a long run and can still do math will probably call you on the math you just did. You got 16 new ones, four renewals. And then you said 8 brand new, but the
yeah. What did I do? I said that wrong.
I had to take my toes off. To
12.
Get more, but there you go.
12.
12 is better than 8.
Oh wait, how many? 16
yeah,
minus
16 and 4.
4. 16 and 12 and 4 is 16.
There
right
go.
There we go.
So those are going crazy, huh? Good.
They are, but it's great. A lot of it is, a lot of it's word of mouth from people that have done it or telling their friends. We still continue to get a handful of extra milers that are doing it. People that say, that they heard about this on this podcast. And I love that. Or people, more and more people that are hearing about it from Run Disney. They're doing the Disney races and they're seeing our pacers out there and they're trying to find out more about it. And, so we're just, I'm thrilled. It's, you know, one of my favorite things in the world is getting to work with people who have all sorts of different goals, whether it's training for your first 5K or training for a 100-miler and everything in between. I love the variety and getting those folks on the road to their goals and then getting to chat with them when we do our video chats and see them on the screen and hear them ask questions of each other, too. It's a great time.
So put your other hat on for me for a minute, and how are the Galloway training groups doing?
Well, those are going really well also. I mean, you said that spring is a time for a lot of races, but it's also a time for a lot of new training programs getting started. A lot of kickoffs are happening. I'm sure when you – I don't know if you've talked to Jeff yet, but I'm sure when you do or when you did, he's told you about the various kickoffs that he's – attending or yep. is going to be attending. So we've got a lot of those and we have some new programs. I've got a couple of new programs that have not been announced yet. And so I don't want to jinx them by telling you too much about them here, but one that has just been announced and that I'm really excited about, we're going to have our first Galloway training program in Detroit, Michigan. And that's just exciting to have a program up there. I think he's going to be Jim is the name of the program director up there. I think he's going to be starting with a 5K training program through the hot months of the summer when people are not going to want to do a lot of long distance yet.
Sure.
And I believe the race that he's going to target is the Detroit Free Press International Marathon, which is the marathon and half marathon that actually go the races go into Canada.
Goes under a tunnel, doesn't it?
It does. I think I want to say maybe it's a bridge over and then a tunnel back, something like that. But yeah, it does. And he said you actually have to you carry your passport with you when you do the race, and potentially you could get pulled out and asked to show your ID. And but it's not a, you know, it's not a big deal. It's just part of the thing. So yeah, I'm really excited about Jim and about that program up there. Detroit is a wonderful city, good people up there, lots of people up there, and finally we'll have a Galloway program for them to to benefit from.
Yeah. So listen, let's change gears if you don't mind just for a little bit. I caught up with Scott, your program director there in St. Louis, and he and I had a conversation, and he gave us some insight into how he became a Galloway pacer. What it's like to be a pacer, what some of the goals are of the pacers, which I think are really, really important. And he mentioned how serious these pacers take the fact that, as an example, that if they're doing a half, you know, it's an even mile per mile pace. They're not going to go out and try to build some up and then any of that stuff. But that was very, very interesting. But what I wanted to ask you about is if you can give us some insight into where folks might want to go and run if they want to try a pacing group.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Scott has been just a tremendous pacer for us at all of the Disney races. And so that's we can definitely say if folks are signed up for the Wine and Dine Half Marathon, November will be the next Disney race, or the Disney Marathon Weekend in January, or Princess Half in February, or the newly renamed Star Wars, what is it called? Rival Weekend. Oh, gosh. Now, see, it's newly renamed. So newly renamed that I don't remember the name of it. But this, it was Star Wars Dark Side. It's now the Star Wars Rival Run Weekend Half Marathon. Next April. So we anticipate Galloway Pacers being at all of those, but we are expanding. We are going to be running at a few other places. We've had Galloway Pacers at some of the races in Florida for a while, in Jacksonville, Florida, at the Marine Corps Half Marathon in Jacksonville, Florida, at the Ameris Bank Marathon and Half in Jacksonville, of course, at the Donna in February, the Marathon and Half Marathon there, and at the Space Coast Marathon and Half Marathon. We split pacing duties with another company to provide Galloway Pacers down there. We will also have Galloway Pacers. We'll be splitting duties with another company providing Galloway Pacers at the Air Force Marathon, which should be cool. That's not far from you. Right. And we will also have pacers for the first time at the Maryland Half Marathon, which that'll be the next race for our pacers. The Maryland Half Marathon, June 9th, which is up near Baltimore. And so we'll have our pacers there. And Scott actually is coming over from St. Louis, where he lives, to be one of our pacers in Maryland. So very we're good. Expanding. And if somebody wants to have, if you've got a good relationship with a race and you would like to see Galloway Pacers at that race, talk to the race director and ask that race director to contact me, chris@jeffgalloway.com, and I'll talk with him and we'll see. And what it really takes is Jeff wants to make sure that the races that we choose to associate our pacers with are races that we can really get behind, races that we feel we can benefit and that can benefit us. And so when Jeff gives the thumbs up that, yep, we'll support that race, then that's when I go into gear recruiting the pacers for that event. So
nice.
There you go. We're excited about it, and I'm really proud of the way all of our pacers have done. You're right. Scott represented as well in saying that we take it seriously about hitting the marks, not just finishing on time, but making sure that when I go in and I look at the splits for the pacers, typically there'll be like a 5K split and a halfway split, maybe a 5K, 10K, 15K split, something like that. I want to see that all of those split times are on pace for the pacers, and typically they are. Typically they're within a minute one way or the other. So, yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned all those races coming up. You guys ought to think about doing one like in early December down in Atlanta area.
Okay, so I have to apologize. Obviously, we have Galloway Pacers at the JG 13.1. Obviously, yes, of course we do. In fact, that's the one place. Most of the races want us to start half marathon pacers at around an hour 45 minutes. And that's good. And we're happy to do that. You don't get as many runners going faster than 8 minute pace. But at the JG, because we want to make sure we're putting on a good demonstration, at the JG, we have pacers as fast as an hour and 30 minutes. So that's, 6 minutes, 50 seconds per mile that we have those pacers.
Well, those are the speedy ones, but let's go to the other end of the spectrum because you also have pacers at the other side too, don't you?
All the way to the end, all the way to 4 hours, guaranteed.
Very good.
So, and that's what we will have Galloway pacers all the way to the end of whatever is the official time for whichever race we're doing. So the Disney races require the half marathon to be done in 3.5 hours. And so that's the slowest group we have there. But for the JG, it's usually 4 hours. For the Donna, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think for the Donna this year, for the half marathon, we actually had pacers down to 4, and I'm looking right now, I think we had a 4.5 hour half marathon group.
Nice.
We sure did. We had a 4.5 hour group for the half marathon. So, which I think took care of everybody. I don't think there were any half marathon finishers slower than that. But we want to make sure that we've got pacers out there for everyone, as long as the race is supporting them.
No man left behind. No man, woman, or
idea.
Child left behind. Very good.
That's the idea. Absolutely.
Hey, listen, our last topic. I know the last time you and I spoke, you were struggling through some hamstring issues. First of all, tell us how that's going. And then on a more broad topic, do you have some tips that you maybe learned yourself or had known before and used when you came back?
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I will say, first of all, thankfully, the hamstring issue seems to be behind me. Doesn't that sound like a pun? But no, the hamstring issue, it's not an issue anymore. My hamstring is healed, and I got the clearance right around mid-March. I got the clearance to race. And I was nervous about it, but I went ahead and I pushed a bit in a 15K and came through it just fine. Actually, within a minute or so of the time that I ran last year when I was perfectly healthy. So,
nice.
So that was a good sign. I have continued to be careful about my running and about my warm up. I didn't race the Star Wars half marathon, but I did pace it. And I paced it at the time that I was supposed to pace it, which was 8 minutes a mile. And thankfully, that went just fine. No issues. I'm probably not going to push myself in a race until July. I've got this little run in Colorado that I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And that'll be the first. That's my most important race for me personally. And so that's what I'll save myself for. But thankfully, I'm not noticing the hamstring. It's not hindering me at all. I've gotten my mileage up. This is a 70 mile week this week for me. So, I've got my mileage up. I ran 65 last week and 60 the week before. And that's really the thing that I would encourage anybody that is recovering from an injury is make sure that you don't try to jump back into high mileage or jump back into fast speed work right away. Take a long view of it. Once I was cleared to run, I think I ran 15 miles that week. And once I was cleared to push myself, I had been jogging a little bit before that, but I think it was 15 miles a week. And I've been trying to bump up by 5 miles or so every week. And again, if somebody gets out the math, they might see that might not be exactly accurate, but because I had some half marathons in there, that did artificially increase my mileage on some weeks. But I'm trying to increase very slowly, be very smart. 5% or 10% is a good rule. No more than 5 miles per week, bumping it up each week. And then be really smart about my warm up. I use a stick massager. I roll out with the stick before I go for any run. I work the hamstring with that, and I also work the calves with that, because what I found is with the hamstring being compromised, my calves were being overworked trying to compensate. So I roll those out real well. I use the BFF massager a couple times a day. I use a foam roller after every run, and I use a company that I really like, a product called Air Relax, which are these recovery boots that just are terrific. And I use those in the evenings. So I'm trying to be smart about it. It's taking me a lot longer. It used to be so easy just to hop out the door and run. But I'm trying to be a lot smarter about that. Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. So I think anybody that's recovering from something or even just trying to increase your mileage after taking some shorter time off because of the winter, I would say just be really cautious, be really smart and methodical about the way you increase your weekly mileage, about the way you reintroduce speed to your running, and don't expect that you're going to get right back where you were overnight. Injuries can happen overnight, but recovery doesn't. So be smart about it and be careful with it, and make sure that you are doing whatever you're doing according to the guidelines that the health professionals that you've consulted with have given you, the doctors, the physical therapists, the massage therapists. Make sure that you're doing the things that they're advising you to do and not pretending that you are the expert in all of those things.
Very good. Anything else you want to throw at us before our next conversation? It's taken me, I had a little bit of a setback, so it's been a while since we last spoke, but I don't expect that to hurt anything going forward. So we'll chat again in just a few short weeks, but it's been a while. Anything else?
It has been a while, but no, I'm really delighted to talk to you. I'm really excited. I got to tell you, I am looking outside at a beautiful sunny day. It's 80 degrees here. I got my run in at sunrise this morning, but I'm probably going to go out for a walk in a few minutes just so that I can breathe the fresh air. So I encourage everybody to do that. Get out and run and walk and enjoy that spring is here. And, you know, as we all like to say, enjoy your extra mile.
Oh, we do like to say that, don't we? I appreciate how you threw that in.
No problem, Kevin.
All right, Chris, I'll let you go. And you and I will chat again really, really soon. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
All
Take right. care. Bye-bye. Bye.
Well, there you go, episode 5.3 of the Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway edition. So do me a favor, raise your hands right now if you've had a chance to meet and chat with Jeff. Keep them up, get them up high. So those of you who do not have your hands high in the air, I want you to check out the show notes in today's episode, and you'll see a link to Jeff's calendar where you can find out where he's going to be in the coming months. And I'm just telling you, it's not to be missed. Especially if, by chance, you need a little bit of a mojo fix, it's impossible to chat with Jeff without wanting to lace your shoes up and head out the door as soon as you're finished chatting with him. So I mentioned this at the beginning of the show, but it definitely bears repeating. This is a run, walk, run podcast. But honestly, why can't we also welcome our walking lovable extra milers? Why can't we all make more walking a priority? It's all good. But this kind of walking is different. It's a training program. Take Jeff's run, walk, run program and replace run, walk, run with walk, shuffle, walk. He doesn't call it that. I kind of made that up. It's not really that easy. I'm oversimplifying. But you get my point. So, as we move forward, there'll be more walk, shuffle, walk information and discussion. I would be remiss if I didn't start begging early enough so you had time to really consider it. Please consider joining us for the Jeff Galloway Half Marathon in December. down in Atlanta. The race weekend has been moved back to its original weekend, which puts a lot more, puts a little more time between the race and Christmas. It's over the weekend of December the 7th, 8th, and 9th. Like Jeff and I mentioned, hotel packages were just announced. And I promise you, you know, there's only so many rooms under those packages. Those will be taken eventually. I don't know how fast. I've never had the guts to sit around and see how long it takes for them to get eaten up. I will tell you this, that the official Extra Mile podcast hotel has always been the Regency Suites. It's at 975 West Peachtree. And I'll put a link to all of the accommodations and how to go ahead and reserve a room using special codes and get those discounts in the show notes. Like I said, the Regency Suites is the one to try to grab if you're interested in spending as much time as possible with your fellow extra milers. It's literally two blocks from the start, and it's between 3/4 of a mile and 1 mile from the finish line. It's really a nice, gentle little cool down after the race. It's a perfect spot. So grab a room reservation before they're all gone. Jeff's got some pretty big plans for the 5th year anniversary of this race. And I've got a lot of time to train for this, but right now my plan is to walk, shuffle, walk this year. So even if I'm doing some gentle run, walk, run by that time, I don't think I'm going to be in the mood to run a half just yet. So I'll be back there with you walkers, and I'd love to have you join me. So as always, thanks to Jeff for spending so much time with us again. I'd like to especially thank Scott out in St. Louis for his Galloway pacer information. Those pacers are so good at what they do. They're just so on target. So check out the show notes for Scott's contact information. And don't forget to consider getting to Jeff's half marathon and joining a pace group down there as well. Thanks, as always, to Coach Twiggs. And if you're looking for a little bit of special help, maybe some extra motivation, sign up for the Galloway Customized Training Program. That's just the ticket. I'll have some information in the show notes about that as well. And lastly, just a quick thank you to the world's best sponsor, Squish Bands. It is definitely squish weather, isn't it? So check out the show notes and make sure you use the special discount code at checkout for your Extra Mile podcast discount. So that's all I got. Thanks again for the download in the last almost 2 hours of your lives. Don't take that one lightly. And until the next time, y'all enjoy your extra mile.
Joining us for this edition of the Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway edition. Please visit our website at www.thegallowayextramile.com to see the show notes for this episode of the podcast. You can email us with your feedback about the show or send your audio questions for Jeff or Chris to podcast@jeffgalloway.com. Thanks for listening, and until next time, enjoy your extra mile.